Lord, thank you for salvation and grace and forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus. Your word says that you've removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And we haven't received what we deserve, Lord. And so we want to be not only recipients, Lord, but distributors, vessels used by you, Lord, to reflect and show your goodness and your grace to the lives of everyone, Lord, but especially to children. So I pray that you would give each and every one of us, Lord, whatever we need to reflect you well to those that you've entrusted to us. And I pray that you would be glorified, you'd be lifted up. I pray that your truth would impress upon our hearts and that it would bear eternal fruit for your kingdom. So we give you this time. We invite you to be a part of it. We thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you for the gift of your Son and the hope of heaven. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome to the How to Lead a Child to Christ workshop, or Leading a Child to Christ. My name is Chris. I oversee the children's ministry here and the special needs ministry. And I am just super excited and honored to be with you. I've done my best to kind of give you enough of my thoughts that you shouldn't have to scribble too much down, but feel free to take notes as we go through. And if we run out of handouts, somebody just let me know and I'll shoot out a text and get us some more. But know that all of our workshops are going to be recorded. All of our workshops, God willing, are going to have the handouts available on them for you to just click on and refer to later. So if we ever run out of anything as you kind of go through the workshops, just know that those things will be available to you. If you do come to this room anymore, if you decide that you want to hear me speak again for some reason, or are interested in the topics, this is known as the cold room. And so you should dress accordingly tomorrow when you come back with your hoodies and jackets and snow gloves and hats and all the things, hand warmers, the whole deal. And I won't be too upset if you bring coffee in here even. So you can do that. But for now, let's get right into it because there's just so much to cover and a lot to talk about. And I'm really excited too. Who in here is from out of state, from elsewhere, serving the Lord? Welcome to sunshiny Philadelphia in all its glory. I think the weather is everywhere at this point, but we're glad to have you. And how many are directors or you're overseeing a children's ministry? Anyone in here? Okay, awesome. Welcome. Teachers? Any teachers? Awesome, good. And anyone who actually doesn't serve in children's ministry and you're like, I'm just trying to figure things. Okay, so you all do. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, no shame. I'm not saying anything about it. No judgment. Welcome to the fold. Sign up. And we're just excited. I gave you a lot of things in your handout, things to think through. You know, leading a child to Christ is one of the greatest privileges in ministry. The celebration that explodes in heaven is no less when a child gives their heart to Christ than it is when an older person gives their heart to Christ. And we're going to go over some of the things like, can a child even be saved? And I hope we're all of the same mind in here, that the answer is yes and amen, they can. Children have many advantages when it comes to salvation and putting their faith and trust in the Lord that an adult doesn't have. They're less ruined by the world, less hardened through experiences of living in a world broken by sin, with sinful people. And so children are sincere and ready to receive the truth that we give them and present to them. And I say that right off the bat because, you know, if we approach children's ministry and we don't believe in our heart of hearts that a child can be saved, then we don't have any business being in children's ministry. And so one of the questions on my application, two of them actually, is a child 5 years old too young to get saved, too young to receive the good news of Christ? And then later in the application, we also ask, is a child who is 12 years old too young to receive the gospel, put their faith in Jesus Christ? And you can either answer yes, no, or I'm not sure. And a lot of people answer not sure about five. That's really young. How can they comprehend what God has done for them in order to purchase their salvation? And we're going to get into that. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's look at this here. Our goal is not to pressure or persuade, but to clearly present God's truth and trust his Spirit to work in the hearts of children. The handout that I'm giving you provides biblical foundations, We're Calvary Chapel here. We do what the Bible says. We build everything that we do on the Bible. That's a good foundation. That's a good starting point. That's anything else is just going to be the work of man, the trend of the culture. None of that is going to carry the weight or do the kingdom work and the spiritual work that needs to be done when it comes to receiving a child or sharing the gospel with them. So we start with the Bible. And in all of my workshops, there's going to be a whole entire page that is just scripture to consider, because we're not going to do anything unless the Lord tells us to do it. So, we're going to trust the Holy Spirit to work in their hearts. Biblical foundations, practical guidance, tools to help you faithfully point children to Jesus. I don't have them printed out for you right here, but there are examples out in the front hallway of our applications. I'm going to have those things available online. I'll have extras printed out tomorrow if you want to grab them. But just, you know, we do have to assess some of these things with our applications, whether people believe that children can actually be saved or not. And one of the questions that we also ask in our application is, what would you do if a child came to you and said, how do I get to heaven? And a lot more people than I would think answer that question by saying, well, I would bring them to a pastor. And I just want to say, hold on. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist, and we all have done the thing to get saved. And we're just handing out the good news ourselves as we've received it. And so this is not the work of a pastor. This is not the work of a children's ministry director. This is not the work of just the teachers. This is the work of every believer. Whenever the Lord, we need to be ready for the moment that God brings someone who is not yet saved in front of us, so that we can be faithful stewards of the good news he has given to us, so that we can give it to them in a way that is clear enough for them to take it and receive it and own it and pronounce that they too believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to take ownership that, yes, I too can share the gospel, and I have what I need to do it, the word of God and the spirit of God. And so I would encourage you, you know, this is your work. This is not the work of a pastor. It is a work that has been done in you and can be done through you. Can a child be saved? Can a child respond in faith? Some people believe the answer is no, believe it or not. Like I mentioned, it's one of the questions on our application. But hopefully by the end of this workshop, if any of you are in doubt, it will no longer be a question to you. Because we can be a twofold hindrance at that point. We won't share the gospel and give kids opportunities to come to the Lord if we don't believe they can be saved. And we won't effectively disciple the kids who are saved because we don't believe they are. And so that's why I say, if you don't believe that a child can be saved, you have no business being in children's ministry. And so I know that's none of you, that happens at other churches, but this is for us today. We want to be honest and just take an honest look at this, and see what the Lord does for us. Now, generally speaking, broadly, in other places, we expect much less of kids than they are capable of. We have low standards for them, and we don't rightly value them, as Gil talked about in our culture today. Children are entertained and kept occupied until they're old enough to actually grasp reality or things that are substantial or for them to actually be useful. What a waste, and what a shame that is. Here's a testimony of someone from our church. It feels very long ago, but I remember Mr. Bill leading us in songs that taught us the Bible stories and Bible truths. Those songs are still sung to our four-year-olds today, and the lyrics come right back to me. I know that God's truth was hidden in my heart through those songs, and I know it was never tedious to sit through the worship time. Mr. Bill made the song so fun. I loved to go to church, and when my family wasn't going, I would get a ride with my neighbor so that I could be at the Sunday night and Wednesday night studies too. I know the Lord used my Sunday school teachers and Sunday school ministry to sow a love for God's word into my heart and to model genuine Christianity. I know those early years in Sunday school laid a foundation for my life. Here's another one. Children's ministry laid the foundation for my walk with the Lord. Not only did my teachers make it very clear that I needed to ask Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, in fact, they did such a good job that I probably got saved a dozen times in Sunday school, but they laid for me a great foundation. Bible stories I heard in the classroom and saw in kids' club have stuck with me my entire life, so that years later, when I finally decided to give the Lord my whole life, I didn't have to start from the beginning because my teachers had taught me so much. Here's another one. As a six-year-old, my younger sister and I used to walk up the street to Oxford Valley Chapel. Our mom would dress us up and we would walk to church. My parents did not attend. The people there loved us. We had so much fun in those classrooms, and Jesus began to permeate my heart. We memorized verses, learned the Bible. I remember nicely decorated classrooms and, most of all, loving people pouring into us. At age 7, I remember praying the salvation prayer at church. I accepted Jesus and that evening shared that prayer with my sister in our bunk beds. Can a child be saved? Yeah. Yeah, my own kids. I'm a father of 4 boys. This is my wife, Jamie, over here. We have 4 young ones, ages 7, 5, 3, and 1. And I remember very clearly my older 2, 4 years old, each of them, praying to receive the Lord, not prompted, not forced, not manipulated, not given any incentive, just the Lord communicating his love to their hearts and their need for a Savior. Scripture reveals to us over and over again that children are examples to adults when it comes to faith, belief, humility, trust in God. The phrase childlike faith is a biblical idea. Jeremiah was called from his youth. Samuel was spoken to in 1 Samuel as the Lord called his name as a boy. Certainly, everything that our ministry is built on, Matthew 18 says, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin or to stumble, it would be better for a millstone to be hung about his neck and for him to be drowned in the depth of the sea. One of these little ones who believes in me to stumble." We want to be careful not to stumble our children, because we don't actually believe that they can come to Christ. They don't need to know the deep things, how justification by faith works, penal substitutionary atonement. They don't need to know the depths of, you know, soteriology and all those things. They know that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And he came and he loves kids. Matthew 18 continues. "Do not despise one of these little ones. In heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who's in heaven. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." And he talks about the sheep, one going astray out of the 100. He goes to seek and save the lost. That's in the context of talking about children. "It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." We're not going to talk about the age of accountability, but we all have sin. A child can be saved, and God's not willing that one should perish. "The children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. Of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and departed from there." In Matthew 21, it talks about the Pharisees being angry. There Jesus is, and it's the children who cry out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They know who he is. They know exactly who he is, and they love him, and they declare it for the adults to actually get a hint. So that's what it's all about. Jesus wants little children to come to him to get saved. This is why this workshop is called How to Lead a Child to Christ, not How to Save a Child or How to Get a Kid Saved. 3 surefire ways to get every child in your children's ministry saved by the time they turn 6 years old. No, that's not what we're doing here. That's not what all you have to do is faithfully put what we say here, put God's heart on display and remove every hindrance that might keep them from coming to him. And when you do that, they will come and they will believe. So we want to be good representatives. It's not our job to save a child. We're not responsible for the salvation of the kids that you serve or anyone else the Lord puts in front of you. You're responsible to lead them to Christ. Our job is to lead and not to stumble. So we share the gospel and we pray and we labor to see God's kingdom furthered in children's hearts and minds, trusting the Lord to do his work in his timing. Age is no problem to God. Children have many advantages that we do not have the older we get. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, the capacity for believing lies more in the child than in the man. A child has many advantages over the adult when it comes to putting their faith in Christ. Children are trusting. Children are sincere. They will take you at your word regarding sin and salvation and the great love God has for them. Their hearts have not been so ruined through many years of exposure to a sinful world. They have not become too smart or too clever to believe something so wonderful as the gospel. That being said, be careful not to take responsibility for this work. Salvation is a work of the Lord. It is the Lord's work. Some verses. Not that we need to back this up, but we will. It's not you, it's not me. It's about leading the kids. It's not about leading the kids in a perfect prayer or having the perfect gospel presentation, saying just the right words. It's not about being so compelling that every kid gets saved. Salvation's not about you. And God forbid we make a child think that they're saved when they're actually not. It's the work of the Lord through you. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, Jesus said. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. That included children. John 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. John 16, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of the judgment to come. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's God's work through God's word. 1 Corinthians 3, God gives the increase. It's God who gives the increase. We sow, we water, God gives the increase. Philippians 1:6, he who began the good work will complete the good work. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Again, so we can go all the way through and we can learn these things. And 1 Corinthians 15 is really just a very clear snapshot of what the gospel is, the good news. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. Has to be his work that is done. We won't always get to see the fruit of our labor unto salvation, and that's okay. We walk by faith, not by sight. God's word never returns void. We carry on faithfully sowing the word, planting the seed, encouraging one another week after week not to grow weary in well-doing. It has to be his work, not by strength nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Now, it helps us to be more confident as we share the gospel if we have some good promises to stand on. All of us have to stand, if all we have to stand on is a method or our own personal testimony or our charisma or creating an emotional experience, that's building on sand. The foundation needs to be the Christ, the word, the gospel. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation. Share the gospel. Share the word. It is the power of God to salvation. Isaiah 55:10-11, man, I hold on to this one every single time I teach. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven does not return there, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God is where his word is. When we open up his word and we speak it to these kids, it's not coming back. God never wastes words. Open his Bible. Let him speak and pray over the seed that was sown. If these promises are true, then they should shape everything we do in children's ministry, our curriculum, how we teach, what we teach, how we relate to the kids, how we pray for them. It should shape how we prepare, what worship songs we sing, who we allow to serve the children. The list goes on. Our job is to faithfully put on Christ, sow the word, pray for the salvation and growth of the kids God puts in front of us. You've got to give the Holy Spirit something to work with, both in you and through you. Age is no problem to God. Common gospel opportunities. So when do we share the gospel? You should be ready in season and out of season, ready anytime. There are some common times that this comes up. We will have lots of opportunities to share the gospel in children's ministry. It should be regular. It shouldn't be once in a blue moon. For us here at CC Philly, you know, it's one of our classroom essentials. I say, hey, here's our handbook, 5 essentials in there. The Bible needs to be in there. Prayer, fellowship, worship, the gospel. The gospel. And so that's throughout our curriculum here, Foundations curriculum, opportunities for the gospel sown in throughout. Obviously, holidays, Easter, Christmas. You have an opportunity for the gospel when kids misbehave. Yay. And you just get to meet them with the grace and love and forgiveness that is in Christ Jesus. When someone asks you a direct question, I have the table set up. I teach 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade in here. And so I let them ask Bible questions, fill out prayer requests. They drop it in the treasure box back there. But sometimes a kid asks a question, why did God die? I'm going to answer that one. Yeah, they'll be very direct. You know, it's like if you were walking on the street and you have like, you know, your church merch on and somebody is like, you go to church, tell me about God. And you're like, did that just happen? Is this really happening? Am I dreaming? Let me tell you. Yeah, let me, how long do you have? Let's grab coffee. Sometimes a kid just asks directly and you want to lean into that. And at that moment, I don't care if, you know, there's a yo-yo tournament over here and a kid chewing on someone's arm over here. I'm like, this kid is ready for the gospel. I'm giving it to him. We'll deal with that later. And so just, you know, if you have somebody new in class, a new family, they may have never been in a church before. Perfect. I'll take some time. Hey, this is what we're all about here, man. All of us can be here because of what Jesus did. He loves you so much. Sent his son. All of us have sinned. We're separated from God. But man, God is so good. He sent his son so we could be rescued, have our sins forgiven, and be with him forever in a place where there's no more sadness, sorrow, sickness, or death. Praise God. So take those opportunities. Don't miss them. Communicate the gospel. So how do you do it? What do you communicate? What do you say? What don't you say? I love lists of do's and don'ts. So fun. Let's look at them. Do. Let's start with the do's. Pray. Do pray. Children's ministry is a spiritual work. It's a spiritual work. You arrive on time so that you can pray with the other volunteers or staff or whoever, so that you acknowledge that you are depending on the Lord for everything that's about to happen as soon as those kids come through the door. It is a work that he is doing through you to those kids. Pray, Lord, please let your work be unto salvation for anyone who is outside of your kingdom. I want every kid saved. That's the Lord's heart. God will answer that prayer. Do open your Bible. When you teach the kids, please open your Bible. Please show them a book. Don't read the Bible from your phone. Don't pull up a screen. Show them the Bible. Read from it, word for word. The kids have enough screens. And there's enough other things that happen on a TV screen or on a phone. We need to show them nothing else is going on here. When you open this up, you get one thing, a Bible. And God didn't give us a movie, and he didn't give us a song. He gave us a book. And so we want to teach kids to love a book, to be able to open it up and read it, interact with it. Teach them that chapters are the big numbers and verses are the small ones, and here's where Proverbs is, and here's where this is, and what is the Bible, and what is the gospel, and just go through, teach them to interact with a book and lead by example, open it up, read the words there. That's where the power is. That's where the power is. The power is in God's word. It's not in your presentation. It's not in the perfect gospel graphic that you Googled and put in your slideshow. It's not. Use language from the Bible. Family language. The Bible talks about salvation, being saved, being adopted. Behold what manner of the love the Father has given unto us that we should be sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Use family language. Make it personal. I do this with older kids. You know, what place does your personal testimony have in these things? You can share your personal testimony. God put you in front of those kids. You have a way that God has worked in you that is unique to you. And so that is a blessing. That is a good thing to put on display. Explain those things for them. There is discernment and wisdom that we need to have because kids aren't great with timelines. Super concrete thinkers think literally. You know, you're going to talk about how you used to be, strung out down the streets in Kensington and, you know, the Lord was just there. You wanted nothing to do with him, living on the streets, homeless, and praise God that somebody handed you a track and one day you gave your life to Jesus and threw all your drugs away. Like that's, you know, for a four-year-old, they go home and they tell their parents, my teacher is homeless and on drugs. And they're like, what is happening there over at Calvary Philly? Because that's not BC for them. That just happened right now. And that's who that person is right in front of them. And so we need to be careful with the details that we share about our testimony. It's not, we don't want the kids to leave with an impression about who we were. We want them to leave with an impression about who Jesus is for them. And so if you're going to share your personal testimony, how Christ has worked in you, then focus on the good things that God has done in you since you gave your life to him. And especially if you were a child, what that looks like for them. Don't go into all the deep, gritty, horrible, R-rated details of your before Christ life with the kids. There might be a time and a place. Maybe in junior high, do that. Do that in junior high. Just kidding, don't. All right, consider your audience. Learn how to communicate the gospel to a child on their level. You don't have to freak out about this too much because God wrote down words that kids can understand. And so if you're using the Bible, God's able to use that to impress it on their heart. So just be careful, you know, when it comes to saying things like salvation, propitiation, justification, you go through all these words and the kids are like, and it's just flying over their heads. They're like, what in the, what? Jesus loves you. Start there. and build on that. You're a sinner. Jesus loves you. Sin separates you from God. Jesus loves you. Jesus came and died for you, took your place, your punishment in your place, so that you didn't have to. He loves you so much. When you believe in him, sins are forgiven. Praise God. Watch out, just watch your vocabulary. And the older kids get, the more that you can be a little more technical and they can grow in those things. We do our best. We ask the Lord to use us. And then we learn along the way. The best way to communicate to a child on their level is just to be with them, to listen to how they speak. And if you're with kids long enough, you'll know where they're at. And then you just communicate to them at that level and sometimes a little above, because we should expect more from our kids than less. It is very different to share the gospel with a 4-year-old class than it is for me to share a gospel with the 10-year-olds. That is just, there's a difference there. There are things that are same, but there are also things that are different. So think through, how do I share a gospel with a toddler? How do I share a gospel with somebody in pre-K or somebody in fifth grade? You learn as you spend time with them. It's helpful to think through those things, but don't be anxious about it and cause you not to share the gospel. Do emphasize God's goodness and kindness and love. Romans 2:4 says, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" No turn and burn stuff with these kids, okay? We're not dangling them over the flames of hell. Oh, you need to get saved. What if you die on the ride home tonight? No, definitely not. You might lose that family, right? We're not going to do that. Put God's goodness on display, and they will want to be with him and him to be with them. He was always surrounded by kids, and it wasn't because he was telling them that they were all going to hell. That is not okay. Kids do need to know they're sinners. They do need to know how big God's heart is and how much he loves them and how good he is. And so put his goodness on display. That's what leads you to the Lord. He's so good. I just want to be with him. I want to be his best friend. It's not fear that leads us to repentance. Let the little children come to me. Not keep them out of hell. Bring them to Jesus. Show the kids how big God's heart is for them today. God knows them today. We'll walk with them today. We'll be with them today. We'll love them today. Today they can come to him in prayer and ask him for help for any number of things. So our aim and our goal is to have them experience Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. God is only good all the time. He's more good than your parents. He's better than your grandmom. Better than the best person you know. I was in a 2-year-old class one time. I just finished worship. Jesus loves me. One of the 2-year-olds said, "I love God, but I love my grandma more." And I said, "Well, okay. But just so you know, God loves you more than your grandma." And he was like, "Impossible." Right? But it is possible. And you just let them know, hey, God loves you more than anybody else. That's just a small little shadow of how much God loves you. He loves you more than grandma. They know what it is to experience good things and have people who love them. They can relate to that. And God loves them even more. All the rest is just a small shadow of his goodness. Do let them know that they are sinners. Do not shy away from this. Kids should not come to our children's ministry and just be told how good they are. "You are just so good. You're just the best," as they're ripping out little Johnny's hair. "You're so good." No, you're not. You're a sinner. You see that sin. It's everywhere. You're horrible. You're a monster. No, don't do that. But do tell them that they are sinners. All have sinned. Repeat these truths to them. This is scripture. All have sinned. Sin does separate us from God. Poof, do emotion. Boom. Sin separates us from God. Awful. Kids are not basically good until the world ruins them. You know, put it in a level they can understand. Wouldn't it be really scary to be separated from your parents forever? Yikes. Maybe some of them have been left behind. I've been left behind. Sometimes parents forget. They have a lot of kids. Sometimes they only have one kid and they just never come back. And you're like, where did they go? What? It would be scary to be separated from your parents. How does a 4-year-old know they're a sinner? They know when they disobey their parents, put it into things they can understand. And that's primarily how they go about their sinful lives. They know about how they treat their sibling. Going over and pulling the dog's tail. Think about how a young child disobeys. I mean, this is why we teach the Ten Commandments. It's a mirror. You just hold it up to their heart, let them see how dirty they are. Let them know that salvation is based on what Christ has done. Because kids are going to keep sinning after they get saved. I tell them all the time, do you guys keep sinning after Jesus has saved you? Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. It did work, I promise. Otherwise, they're going to wonder, did I do enough? It's not about what you've done. Jesus did it all for you. You're going to struggle. Sin's still in your heart. Every day is a battle. You just fight it. Believe in him. And then if kids give their life to Christ, celebrate with them. Celebrate with them. That is amazing. Heaven just exploded with a celebration. It's not for you to decide and discern, is this the 21st time you've been saved or the first time you've been saved? No, that's not what we're doing. Celebrate with them. Make it a big deal. Oh, you're part of God's family. That kid is now a brother or sister in Jesus Christ who you will stand before the Lord of glory for all of eternity, singing his praises. A lot separates you from a four-year-old now. A billion years from now, not much is going to separate you from that person. You're going to be a more alike in the glory of God, shining into heaven, singing his praises, than you are different. Brothers or sisters in Christ, celebrate with them and do let their family know, because they are the primary disciples of their children. Here we have little cards that our volunteers fill out called Welcome to God's Family. And it's just, it does have a little, hey, is this your first time asking Jesus in your heart? And does have the parent's name on there. And that comes back to me so that I can then follow up with the family to see what they need. Do they need anything for discipleship? Can we get them a Bible? Do they have a Bible? Do they know what is expected of them as parents? What God has called them to? And so do let the family know. And do give them a Bible or point them to the bookstore or whatever, a resource, something. But you need to get them a Bible. So you know, some things to think about. Things not to do. We talked about some of these things. Do not pressure them. We can falsely pressure kids to get saved. And does anyone want to receive the gospel today and put their faith in Jesus and go to heaven forever? And no one answers, no one raises their hand. It's just like crickets and the kids are staring at you. Does anyone want to go to heaven? Nothing. I'll give you $5 if you want to go to heaven. No, we just don't. What do? We put pressure because then we feel like we've failed. Did I say the wrong thing? Did I do the wrong thing? Did I not pray enough beforehand? I read from the Bible, didn't I? Did I read from the Bible? Did I change a word? What's happening? I rubbed the lamp. It's not working. It's not a recipe that we follow. And then out pops a saved kid. We're just leading them to Christ, and it's God who is doing the work. So we just, as long as we're faithful, no pressure on us. It's all the Lord. Don't pressure kids. Don't pressure yourself. It's not now or never. You know, a kid shows up to your classroom. The family was kind of edgy at the door. It's their first time there. You're like, oh man, they've never been to church in their life. This might be my only shot. All right, we're doing the whole, you know, that's not what we're doing. God will bring other people to their path. One sows, another waters. You know, kids also pressure themselves. They have the peer pressure. One hand goes up. I'll give my life to Jesus. The rest of the room, me too, right? You're like, it's not for you to discern. You just praise the Lord. Do not incentivize. We are giving out candy to anyone who gets saved today. Does anyone want to get saved today? No, don't do that. Again, don't use big words, propitiation, salvation, justification by grace through faith, even talking about things of like the new birth, be born again. The kids are literal thinkers. Just like Nicodemus, I have to be born again? What? Right? That's, we need to explain it to them. Substitutionary atonement, incarnation. If you simply say God loves you, hey, now we're getting somewhere. And then use the Bible. Talk about their sin and God's goodness. Words can be taken literally. Kids are literal thinkers. Accept Jesus into my heart might make kids afraid that if they believe in Jesus, a giant adult man will explode into their heart. Ouch, that sounds painful. Even if he's a little man, that might hurt, right? Like whatever it is. So I use language from the Bible to explain family things that take place as opposed to this. Again, I've used that language. If you've said, accept Jesus into your heart, you're not a bad person. It's just things that we need to think about as we're working with kids. You know, when you decide to follow Jesus, you go to heaven. I've had kids say, I'm not ready to go to heaven. Like, no, I didn't mean right now. Right? Because they're literal thinkers. I want to stay with my mom and dad. I don't want to go to heaven right now, right? These are kids. be careful with your words. Don't be boring. This is the best, most exciting news of all the universe. And then Jesus died for your sins. No, you better liven up. I realize, like, if you're not an outgoing person, but this is the good news we're talking about. And it is kids' salvation that we're talking about. So, hey, let's not be boring with the gospel. Don't overemphasize sin or God's punishment. The emphasis is on his goodness. Do you talk about sin? I usually don't say burn in hell. I usually say separated from God, eternally separated from God. Just like imagine if you were forever separated from your parents, how sad and horrible that would be. It's worse to be separated from God forever. He loves you more than your parents, and he wants to be with you, and he provided a way for us to do that. All right. Do not scare or threaten them with imminent death. Die on the way home, car accident, burn in hell forever. Some of these kids have experienced recent deaths in their family. Maybe they're worried about whether their family member's in hell or not. You know, it's true. You never know. We had a 3-year-old in our class one Sunday. 2 days later, he was in a pool accident and down in the ICU, and they weren't sure if he was going to make it. You never know if you're going to have them in front of you again. But if you're faithful every week to put God's heart on display, then God can do the work he needs to do. He knows. Do not get into the gory details of the crucifixion. Some of us really love that. We're like, I want to know every way that Jesus physically suffered for me. And you go into where the nails went through and what it did to his hands and how he had to lift himself up with his feet to get another breath and how, you know, the capillaries burst open and he was bleeding blood in the garden and his beard ripped out and, you know, how the whip tore into his back and ripped. And some people even died from just the scourging. Isn't it awful? And then the thorns. No. And kids are like, going home to have nightmares, and they have PTSD now because they went to your Sunday school room. What did you do? Yeah, don't leave that out. You know, the Bible actually doesn't give many details. And then they crucified him. And then they go on from there. Don't need to go into all the gory details. Don't feel bad or responsible if no one responds. Remember God's word. Don't be suspicious, because kids are trustworthy. They'll believe what they tell you. Don't put stumbling by. Are you really saved? Here's this 10-word survey to find out if you really understand the depths of salvation. Don't do it. Don't be suspicious. God forbid, again, you pressure them and then they believe that they're saved when they're actually not. Leave it in the Lord's hands. Now, a couple things that I do want to go over with you in terms of what you would actually say. There are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of different tools when it comes to sharing the gospel. I'm just going to go through some of these things rather quickly, and then we'll wrap up if you guys have any questions or want to talk about any of these things. I like this thing that Lifeway did put out. It's simple. It's easy. There's a lot of other ones you can use. This is more so maybe directed towards like a first or second grader. And while our entire Foundations curriculum here that we use is saturated with the gospel and opportunities to respond to the gospel, for second grade, for us, we actually have a portion, what is the Bible, what is the gospel, and it kind of walks through those things with them. But Crossway puts it in a very simple kind of layout here. God rules. He's the creator of everyone and everything. He rules. Lord, you're worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power. You created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. There's a God. You need to start there. Not every kid will know that, especially if they're there for the first time and coming from an unsaved family, unchurched. Let them know that there is a God. What does that mean? Well, he's a person who made everyone and everything, including you. He decided what color eyes you were going to have. What? Yeah. And he gets to decide the rules because he made everything. And so we are sinners. We've all sinned. The wages of sin is death, Romans 3:23. Sin separates us from God. And you can define, I like Child Evangelism Fellowship's definition of sin. They say, sin is anything that you think, say, or do that goes against God or that displeases God. And so breaks God's law, goes against God's word. However you do that, anything that you think, say, or do that displeases God. So these definitions and these truths, I try to repeat them often. Sin separates, what does sin do? Separates us from God. Yeah, that's right. Sin separates you. But God wants to be with you. He loves you so much. God provided a solution to our sin problem. John 3:16, so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's good news. That's the gospel. God has provided a way for the sin that separates us from God to be put away so that we can be with him again. God wants to be with you. He loves you so much. And then Jesus gives. Jesus gives. And of course, the things that he gives is salvation so much. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. All of that should sound super exciting as you do it. The gospel is not boring. And so I would encourage you, again, if you use language other than the family language, say Christian or something like that, do what Pastor Gil just did and say, Christian, that just means a Jesus follower. You want to follow Jesus? You want to live for him? You know, again, if you talk about coming to Christ or following Christ, they think, well, where is he? I want to go to him. Where is he? I want to follow him. Where is he? Around the corner? Is he in another room? Where did Jesus go? And so you just don't want to be super literal, but just invite, hey, God is everywhere. He loves you so much. Our response, Romans 10, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. This is not strictly Lifeway, but the ABCs of salvation is something that I walk through a lot here. A, admit that we are sinners. That means that we're going towards sin. We're just sinners. You know, I talk about repentance. You're going towards sin. Turn away from sin, back to God. Admit that you're a sinner. Do you believe that you're a sinner? Yeah, show them. Disobey my parents. I've lied. Hurt somebody, I've been mean with my words. Well, all you have to do is believe that Jesus is God's son. He died on the cross for you, rose again so that your sins could be forgiven. And then confess, hey, tell God and others that you've trusted in Jesus to be savior of your life. To confess, hey, that just means to say with your mouth. Whoever believes in his heart, confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and Savior shall be saved. It's not something that you do. It's not of good works, lest anyone should boast. Admit, believe, confess. God rules. We sin. Jesus gives. And then we respond. And then just lead them into ABCs of salvation. Use it, don't use it, but find something that your whole children's ministry, there can be a consistency across the board so that the truths that are being repeated are consistent classroom to classroom, person to person, that kids are just getting exposure to the gospel multiplied, and all of those seeds are being sown and watered every classroom, all the way up through children's ministry. You can use the Romans Road, super helpful for you to have memorized if you don't, and then you can walk kids through. If memory is hard, just underline them in your Bible and write down where the next one is in the margins next to your Bible and open it up and say, all right, now let's go to 6:23 and read it to them and just walk them through. You know, the wordless book, we did this as a craft at our VBS and really gave the kids a charge. Hey, go out, make disciples. Just share this. It was a little bracelet. Share the truths behind these colors with everybody. And, you know, you can go into those things there. I'm not going to go into them in detail, but however you share the gospel, make sure it's biblical. Make sure that you're depending on the Lord and that you just are faithful to put God's heart on display. Now, after a child gets saved, make sure you follow up, because salvation isn't the finish line. That's a starting line. The gospel isn't just for salvation. It's for me every day. Every day I need the gospel. Children's ministry is not just evangelistic. A lot of what we do is discipleship. A lot of the kids that we serve are already saved. So the gospel isn't just for me when I die. It's for me today as I follow Jesus. Our message isn't just believe in Jesus and you'll go to heaven when you die. It's come to Jesus because he loves you right now and today. So discipleship starts now. What does that look like? Regular church attendance. Come back to church. Are you going to come back next week? Tell your parents you want to come back next week. They'll bring you. Come to church. Read the Bible. Do you have one? Do you read it? You don't know how to read? Do you know anyone who can read? Let's get you a Bible that they can read to you. Ask your parents, can you read me the Bible? Tell them where to start. Start in the gospel. Gospel means good news. Learn about Jesus, what it means to follow him. Do pray. The Bible is where God talks to us. He wants to talk to you, but you can talk to him too. Anytime, any place, anywhere. And he'll be there. He'll help you. And share the gospel. Hey, kids can share it. You're never too young to be used by the Lord. And give the gospel to a kid and just let them loose. Go into the world, child, and just shine your light and bring people to Jesus everywhere you go. The playground, the grocery store. Make your parents really uncomfortable with all the conversations that you start about how much you love Jesus. Okay. Are parents engaged and equipped to disciple in your church? Because they are the primary disciplers. And so we're going to have a workshop later partnering with parents and how we can do that practically. But just something to think about. Are your parents ready? Maybe they're newly saved themselves and they don't even know the ABCs of what it means to follow Jesus. When it comes, can a kid understand the Bible? Maybe they don't even pray at home yet together as a family. Is there a new believers class at your church? We don't have one, but I've wondered, do we need a new believers class for our kids at our church? You know, there is discipleship that takes place through our curriculum, but is there something more pointed we could do, or at least a resource we could point our parents to? Does your church allow kids to be baptized? How do they have an understanding of what that means? And so things to think about, follow up with kids after they get saved, you know. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Primarily for parents, but we do come alongside of them. Kids largely are an example to us. There's not much that would hinder them inside of them, but there is much that we could do to hinder them. And so, you know, the biggest thing is just prayer. No one encounters God's word and leaves unchanged. When God speaks, things happen. He spoke the universe into existence. The same words of power take place every time you open up your Bible and you speak God's word to those kids. The Lord spoke a universe into existence, and when he speaks, lives are changed. So don't rob God of the opportunity to speak by keeping your Bible closed. Use the words in the Bible to speak to kids. All right. I think that's pretty much all I have. Keep the message simple and clear. Use scripture, avoid emotional pressure, and definitely rejoice when a child comes to believe in Jesus, and then help them grow as a disciple. We have a little phrase here at CC Philly, no grow show, that you'll see all in our resources. And that just kind of encompasses the goal that we have here for anyone who is in our children's ministry. We desire for them first and foremost to know God. We put God on display for them. We introduce them to him in his word so they can know him and put their faith and trust in him. And then once they do know him, our desire is for them to grow in that knowledge, grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have their gifts sharpened and to be discipled. Discipleship takes place. Equipping to live a Christian life takes place in these young hearts and minds as they sit under the word of God, which is effective and powerful. And then show, we encourage them to put God's work in their heart on display and bring that message to everyone they know, in their schools, on the bus, at home, in their neighborhood, playground, wherever. And so no grow show, that's kind of how we encompass. It's not just evangelism, it's not just discipleship, it's both. And then we send them out and go do it. Any questions? I know that was a bit of a dump, just gospel, dump, run with it. Anything I can clarify, any questions, anything different for what you do, ideas, anything unclear, anything I can elaborate on, any thoughts there, any questions at all? Happy to answer them. Yeah, John.
I just had kind of a general question. Yeah. I've been experiencing this like more often.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips? There's some kids at the mall that I've been ministering to, and they're like 13 to 14.
Okay.
What do you do when they've accepted the gospel? They actually come to me once a week. I talk to them. But their parents are completely stop talking about it. Like, I don't know what advice to kind of give them because they live with their parents.
Especially for that age, but even the young kids here, I let them know that that to follow Jesus does not mean that all your problems will go away in life. It's good. There will be, in this world, you will have trouble. If you preach a gospel of comfort and peace and ease, then as soon as things get hard in a child's life, they're not going to know what to do. God has forsaken me. Did I do something wrong? What's going on? God's not big enough. And so we have many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver them out of them all. And so I let my kids know that following Jesus will be hard. You know, I have a young girl in here who is with her dad every other weekend who is saved, and with her mom the other 12 days who is very much not saved. And she battles and wrestles. And every time she's here, she's like, it's so hard for me to follow Jesus when I'm at my mom's house. And I believe that God's big enough to help them in that circumstance. And if they hold on to the Lord and continue to feed on his word, then God will be able to carry them through that storm. He'll be with them through the midst of it. It doesn't promise that all our storms will go away, but that Jesus is with us through them. And then just, again, keep that connection and give them promises to stand on in his word. The same gospel that saved them is able to equip them every day. And God has them in that unsaved family for a reason. And he might just use them powerfully in his parents' life. That's kind of what I would be thinking about and thinking through. Questions. Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, totally. I will go over this in the next workshop in this room, classroom structure and management, in terms of the structure. But essentially, there are three kinds of children's ministry you can experience, four kinds. There's nursery, which is under two. And then there's 2 and 3 year olds, which is kind of its own thing. And then 4 year olds through second grade is its own pocket of something where our foundations curriculum kind of covers, and they all worship together. Then they split off into their classrooms, all have different lessons. And then 3rd through 5th grade is all together in here, and is modeled more so like a church service. So typically kids are coming and then they're, kind of sitting, just enjoying fellowship, you know, doing an activity sheet or starting their craft until they leave a little after the service starts for worship time all together. And they come back. And go right into the Bible lesson, and then end with a time of, you know, craft or activity reinforcing the Bible lesson. So kind of in my essentials, that'll go over those 5 elements that I talked about: Bible, prayer, fellowship, worship, and the gospel. I give my teachers some freedom with how they format their time when they're with the kids, but I ask that those elements always be a part of it. However you kind of interweave those in there. But because the kids leave and go to a room for worship, that's kind of like the deciding, you know, that part doesn't move. So however you want to fit it. And usually the word is a great response to the time and song, you know, to get right into the word to make sure that you have the time that you need in there, because that's the priority, because that's what where God's going to work through. Any other questions? 2 minutes. Yeah. So our morning services are 8, 10, and 12. And we let kids sign in 15 minutes before the service starts. And so if they come here right at the start of sign-in, we could have them for an hour and a half. Our Wednesday evening service is an hour and a half, and our Sunday evening service is 2 hours. So those formats are a little different. But for our the time when kids are here, the majority of them, it's Sunday morning. Yep. Yeah.
Could you just speak on, I think there's not like one answer to this.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But like you said, kind of trusting the Holy Spirit's work and trusting a kid that if they say they accepted, you know, accepted salvation, that's it.
Totally.
Because I've heard other people's testimonies and they're like, I think I was saved by God.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Maturity is a big part of it, because you grow into understanding bigger truths, and then you might question, was I really saved? Because I didn't really grasp the largeness of the truth of salvation. And so kids are generally very sincere and will believe whatever you tell them, whether that's about Santa Claus or about Jesus. And so that's why we need to be careful, because they are in some ways very gullible. And so we don't want to mislead them. And so I always just think, you know, the word doesn't return void. And so I am just going to keep sowing truth into their life, and trust that the Holy Spirit will ignite those things, or at least build the scaffolding and a framework, so that when they do come into a greater understanding of the definitions or you know, the concepts, that kind of like the testimony we read at the beginning, that it was all already in place for them to just take it and run with it. And now they're off to just like a head start. So that's kind of how I do it. It's more so like, I have you every week or every other week, so I'm going to trust that the Lord really just is going to use his word and do the shepherding in your heart that needs to happen. Because we can only ever truly know about ourselves and our own salvation. And then you look for fruit, because that's the tell, right? You know a tree by its fruit. So you encourage kids to serve, and whatever that looks like, whether that's cleaning up the crowns or greeting kids at the door or going to share the gospel, and then just kind of watch the Lord's work in their life, and maybe you realize, I think the Lord's really gifted this kid, because if they do have the Holy Spirit, then they have giftings, and we want to foster them and encourage them in those things. Let's pray. God, thank you for your faithfulness to minister to us the truth that we need to follow you and to love you. I pray that you would give us the courage, wisdom, and discernment and humility, Lord, to trust you to do your work through us when it comes to leading kids to you. Give us your heart for children. It's in your name we pray. Amen.